everybody. So for anybody who's drifted in, if you don't have drink tickets, you can come see me in a minute when I step off the stage. Oh, you can see Nick, who is waving drink tickets in the air.
Like he just...
No, Nick does not deliver. You can get up and walk to him. Well, you need the exercise then. Jim and I are friends, right? It's okay? Yeah, I didn't just heckle a random stranger.
We were.
Aww. So we have a few announcements before we get started.
So, after this, everyone, Birds of a Feather. It's hard to operate. Birds of a Feather will be immediately after this at 7 o'clock, so be sure you check in for that. This is the schedule. You can get it on the ApacheCon website. You have to mouse over the schedule thing in order to get this link, though. So touch devices, kind of a pain.
The internet is really hard.
Yeah. Really weird things happen on the internet, too. Second thing is there are no keynotes tomorrow morning, so keep that in mind.
But we do start at 9, so you should wake up anyway.
So, we should do our lightning talks. You know, I actually came to find out there are a couple folks that don't know the rules of the lightning talks, so we should cover that.
So everyone in here came prepared to give an hour-long talk, right? Yeah? And you can't reuse one you've already done this week. That's how it works?
5 minutes.
Oh, I thought that was 5 hours.
No, 5 minutes.
All right.
No slides.
Unless
you're Rich Bowen.
He's not here.
He's out?
He's not in this room.
All right. Well, no slides unless you're Rich Bowen. And then any topic. And actually, this time we had a lot of really great suggestions. This is kind of like the lightning talks for the incubator, basically.
It is. We have many incubator-themed talks.
Really excited about that.
It's going to be awesome. But first, we have not an incubator. We have Shane, who appears to be attempting to finish slides against the rules.
That's
right this minute. Oh, wait, you look a lot like Rich Bowen all of a sudden.
I do.
Yeah.
That's not Shane.
I can't even tell
Rich
you
Bowen.
Apart. And let him come up here. All right, Shane.
So Shane is our first lightning talk. Things you might not know about Apache.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Shane Kirkrew, and this is my 23rd ApacheCon. And I'm the timer. Hey, I've got five things, I've got 5 minutes, I can do this. I am not, by far not the most ApacheCons ever. Rich Bowen obviously is that at 28. So we can see who's between 23 and 25. And my hope is that I will be attending another 23 ApacheCons and seeing many of you there. So my lightning talk is five things you might not know about Apache. Well, of course, we're geeks, we start with zero. Does Apache have a URL shortening service? Yes, we do. It's called s.apache.org. Hopefully that's easy enough to remember because I have links in my slides. That's why I have slides. We have our own URL shortener so that when we shorten URLs, they'll be around as long as our infra team is here. So if you can think of other things that go away after a while, the foundation will protect your IP and keep it going as long as we're here. So number one, common question is, what is a PMC? In fact, somebody just today said, I still don't get the relationship of PMCs to the board and the rest of the projects. So a PMC is a project management committee. And here on the slides, s.apache.org/about-PMC, and there will be a useful content for you that will answer this question. Imagine an org chart for a corporation. We've got the board of directors, and we've got our 200 or so PMCs, top-level projects. And each one, dotted line reports to the board. That's it. Now, the board expects reporting for community and branding and legal issues, and we help out. But for technical direction, each PMC is its own organization. They do their own thing. So they're truly independent in many ways. A lot of people have a hard time understanding that because it's so lightweight. It also means that every director has about 20 direct reports, which is kind of crazy, but we manage. Number two, how do I become an Apache member or how do I buy a seat on the board? You can't. So unlike some other organizations, we do not sell seats on the board. We do not have an application process where you can come and sign a form and maybe pay a fee or something and become a member. If you're asking to become a member, that's probably not the right way to go about it. What is the right way to go about it is use the Apache way to serve the public good. do work, help out the projects, be an evangelist for our community model of development. And the existing members of the ASF will hopefully notice that. Existing members can nominate someone, and then we have a private ballot, and that is the only way to become a member. The board is elected by the membership, so they are fiercely independent. I mean, there's no way that a corporation could exert control, because all the members in here are all very independent, and we're the only way to get to the board. S.apache.org about independence, also useful. Well, what is an Apache member? In this context, an Apache member, it's probably not what you think. It really means a shareholder of the corporation, of the Apache Software Foundation, the nonprofit organization, which means exciting stuff like annual members meetings and proxy forms to vote for the board, like all those little papers you get from your stock options or stock investments, right? We usually just toss those out. Not very exciting. You do get to vote for the board, which is okay. The value of being an Apache member is not that you speak for the foundation or not that you're an official. It does mean you have visibility into all Apache projects. The members help provide oversight for our independence, which means they can help mentor any project they want. Now, they don't have merit on the project. They're not a committer on any project unless they earn it. But they can show up and help and, I'd like to help. How could I help you? And hopefully projects will respond and you know, learn a few things about good community management. Well, how can I be successful at Apache? So Shane, you just said it's hard to do all these things. Well, we all learn in different ways. And one underappreciated resource that a lot of members have been writing are the Success at Apache blog series, which is a series of essays of stories. So I usually write documentation and procedures. Here at s.apache.org/about-success, there's a whole list of essays and personal stories that explain how to do these things, why they're important. And often that's useful for the different people in the community to understand. And we don't link to these nearly often enough. They go out in the press releases, but I don't think people really go read them. So number five, how do I get infra things for my project? You have to ask for them. It's pretty simple. You just need to ask. Now, pro tip, be polite. Include ponies, they like ponies in infra. No gnomes, because gnomes gum up the works. Again, about-infra, a link. The key part about asking for something from infra is knowing the right place to ask, whether it's a Jira ticket or a self-serve tool, and make sure you're clear with what you actually need, and infra will get back to you. We have a paid crack infra team who it's their job to serve projects' needs as much as the ASF can. And they do a lot of customer support, and it is quite fun to see that. And, by the way, since it's a tradition on stage, Apache is hiring a new infrastructure person. So we have a job posting for an infra lead, or an infra staffer. So please consider applying, and you could get paid to work at Apache. And number six, how do I get Shane off the stage? Well, this is Toke the Dark One and Palinka there. And they are lovely to sit together and snap on the couch, and that's what I would love to do.
Get off the stage!
Thank you.
I got good news for you, Rich.
Excuse me, Daniel. I know I delegated this task to you, but you're not doing it right. Everyone that's been up on stage has been wearing Hawaiian clothing, so it's important that you also wear a Hawaiian shirt. Otherwise, you're just not doing it right. So
this one even has feathers.
Yeah.
Feathers. I got good news for you, Rich, while you're here.
Yeah.
You weren't here, but in order to be allowed to use slides, Shane had to be Rich Bowen, so he has to do all your work for the next year.
Sweet. All right. I'm going to go take a vacation. Excuse me.
All right. So while Daniel reconsiders all his life fashion choices, next up, With no slides and a solid actual 5-minute timer that Shane got out of, we have...
That was more than 5 minutes, dude.
Stefan Rochelle telling us about Apache MXNet, our first incubator project on the stage.
So, yay! Stefan, welcome.
Welcome. My name is Stefan Rochelle. It's my first ApacheCon, and thank you. And I'm a contributor at the Apache MXNet project. Apache MXNet is a deep learning framework and incubating since January 2017. Apache MXNet provides interfaces to architect, train, and serve neural networks. With neural networks, you can either use your own data or pre-trained models from the MXNet model zoo to do things like face detection, image classification, drive cars autonomously, process natural language, or do machine translation. The possibilities are endless and only limited by your imagination to use neural networks to build exciting applications. The possibilities are vast across industries, application domains, used in autonomous vehicles, healthcare, finance, but also to secure computer networks. At the core, MXNet has a highly scalable distributed processing engine, which allows you to process vast amounts of data on clusters of GPUs to train your models for the applications you want to use to make predictions or impact the way your application is reacting to its users. MXNet not only provides a faster backend to Keras, which is a popular neural network description language, it also provides its own high-level API to describe neural networks, training procedures, or the way you want to serve your models for the specific applications. On top of MXNet, we have packages like Sockeye, Gluon CV, Gluon NLP, which allow for fast development and deployment of applications in the deep learning space, in the AI space. Tomorrow, you have the opportunity at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. or 3:40 p.m. to learn more about MXNet. Right? We will have talks about deep learning, the MXNet ecosystem, as well as also the integration of MXNet with Spark to serve models for inferencing. MXNet also provides a number of APIs in various languages, like C, R, Scala, Clojure, Julia, and soon also in Java, so that you can easily integrate MXNet into your own applications. The project is looking for contributors to grow and diversify the community. Besides the usual opportunities to help with bug fixes, documentation improvement, and feature enhancements, you also have the opportunity to learn state-of-the-art technology and AI. And you have the opportunity to influence a pretty amazing technology. We can barely imagine how society will be influenced. Please visit our website at mxnet.io. There you can find references, of course, to the GitHub repo, but also tutorials, blog posts, and additional educational material. And if you hear anybody talking about a thing like TensorFlow or PyTorch, make sure you come across as really educated and ask them if they already looked at Apache MXNet. Thank you very much. And the one thing you need to learn, and I couldn't use slides, so I had to go back to old-fashioned technology.
Wait, what do we do if the timer's still running?
You let it go.
Okay.
Yeah. We have funny pictures.
Sweet, you bought us 30 seconds.
Cool.
You have to talk about MXNet for the next 25 seconds. Go.
I learned it's MXNet and not MixNet. I've heard people saying it both ways. So who's our second, or
our third?
Next talk?
Math is hard. Counting.
I left one time. It didn't end well.
He started at zero. Fair. Totally fair. Wait, I want to see what picture we get. Who said that? Who said what is that? Does somebody want to tell him what that is? It's Doctor Who. No, what? I think that's A Wrinkle in Time. So next, we're going to have Mark Thomas telling us how to sell our swag, or sell your swag. It says yours. Are you here, Mark?
I am. It's right here.
You going to stand up? Tell us. What, are you just gazing at Doctor Who now? What's happening? Wait, can I push the button? Badly.
Okay. The Community Development Project has been doing some work to set up a swag store on Redbubble. So we now have the ability for any Apache project to come along to us, point us at the logo they want to use, help us set that logo up on the products, so the T-shirts, clocks, bedspreads, scarves, you name it, you can sell it. It's got your logo the way you want it on Redbubble, and then you can sell it, and the ASF gets, I think it's something like 20% of the sales as well. As an example, this is one we set up for Tomcat, so we've got the Tomcat logo on the front and back of the book. If you'd like to set your project up that way, then I will be around tomorrow, somewhere in the seats behind the registration desk. Come and find me, it'll take about 15 minutes. All you need to do is say, yeah, logo left a bit, right a bit, up a bit, in a bit, out a bit, yeah, fine, great. Do that about 40 times and we'll all be set up. Hopefully see some of you tomorrow. Thank you very much. And now Daniel can talk about swag for 3 minutes, 50 seconds.
Well done. Well done.
Hey, Daniel, do you like beer?
Ruth, I love beer.
Sweet.
Do you like beer?
I do. No, I hate it.
I would like to say thank you to Google Cloud for the beer. So let's go ahead and give our sponsor the lightning talks.
I just walked down a Long Island address. I feel like I have to marry this beer now.
You're a champion. Thank you.
Aw, thanks. Can you restart this thing, or do we have to talk about the clock for 3 minutes?
No, it's cool.
Oh, okay. It has a button?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then I would like to hear about, is this another incubator project? Is that what we have next?
No.
No.
Jeffrey
Painter
is actually going to tell us about how Apache Turbine, folks, it isn't dead. So let's welcome Jeffrey to the stage.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jeffrey Painter. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. This is my third ApacheCon. I was in Miami last year, that was my second. My first was 2003 in Las Vegas. I had a long extended break because I went back to school, I got a degree, and then I ended up working in Big Pharma for 11 years, where I sort of became the domain expert on biomedical ontologies and knowledge representation. So I work primarily with geneticists, statisticians, and do a lot of data mining support kind of role. But 2 years ago, I left my job and started Jivecast, my consulting company. But throughout this whole time, I've been a big fan of Apache. Back in 2003, I had started my first company, and I was feeling like an imposter. I was a Perl guy, and I learned about this thing from Jakarta called Apache Turbine. And it looked like it was the tool to solve all the problems I was facing. So I built an application for a small company in North Carolina to do order management, inventory, you know, that boring business kind of stuff. But Apache Turbine solved all the problems I needed. I spent 6 months deep diving and learning about the framework and what it offers. If you don't know, it is one of the early MVC frameworks. It provides everything from the database layer up to the presentation layer, and it spun off a lot of other sub-projects over the years, including one that probably most everyone here knows is Maven. Apache Turbine was so complicated to build that we had to invent Maven to manage the build process. But most of my early experience back in those days was offering support on the mailing list, helping with documentation, those kinds of things. And to Bertrand's remark about things in the attic, I really want to echo that community is what has kept this code alive over all these years. And even though I was gone for such a long period of time, we had two still active developers. They're both in Germany, Thomas Vondel and Georg Kalidas, I think that's how you pronounce it, who have continued and progressed the system over the years. Turbine 4.0 Milestone 2 was released in 2008. I came back about 2 years ago, and in 6 months, we got to the 4.0 final release 10 years later. And then shortly thereafter, I found a bunch of bugs, and so we're at 4.0.1. But just wanted to let people know that, you know, we're not all Facebook or Twitters. It's a platform that's allowed me to solve a lot of small problems for very targeted domain-specific things. Some examples are, I built a system for the European Medical Agency. They're looking at detecting adverse events in social media data. And so I built a set of collaboration tools on the Turbine platform, which we donated to the World Health Organization. I've done things such as, I built a text analytics platform using some other great Apache projects, OpenNLP. The Commons Math Stats Library is one of my dear friends, as well as Apache Poi for doing report generation, all the great stuff. But we're moving Turbine forward. It's there to help give you all the foundations to build a secure web application quickly. It's really helped me in being able to focus on my customers' problems. And any way I can give back to Apache is, it's just been a blessing. So thank you. If you want to learn more about Apache Turbine, I had submitted a talk. Hopefully this will get people interested, that if I submit a talk again next year, it might get approved. Yeah, so I'm the data mining NLP guy, but I also help out a lot with the Turbine project. Thank you.
Thanks. I have a complaint about these talks. I spent at least 10 minutes today looking for pictures of people going shh to put at the end of the timer, and it hasn't run out.
Well, give it a second.
What will it be? Not the best one. I'll take it. All right.
Oh,
it's on the broken one. Yay! You get to see them all. Good code, man. Good code.
Does anyone know a developer?
Daniel would like a tutor in JavaScript if anyone's available later. He pays in beer.
Or whiskey.
Or whiskey. Great. Who's next? What do we have? We have a whole list. Oh, so, next. What? So? Just thinking?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't think.
yeah. Next we have George Percival, who is going to tell us about his entire talk title is Geospatial, which might last more than 5 minutes, but that's why we have a timer.
We do have a timer. It's all yours, George.
I want to see those images at the end, too. So I'll
in slow motion?
In slow motion.
I can't, no promises about Daniel's code.
Yeah, so Geospatial is my name, but I misspelled it. You didn't make fun of me, Ruth.
Oh, see, I wasn't going to call you out individually.
Oh, okay. It's because I'm a newbie. You don't know me enough to call me out yet, do you? Yeah. So I'm going to talk about Geospatial as essentially an Apache cross-cutting category idea. So everybody got a T-shirt, right? And it has essentially what looks like a subway line, topological subway line. We had a good joke about that in the geospatial track as to whether anybody else would recognize it as a topological map or not. Anybody else? Yeah? Okay, so it's not. There are more geospatial people out there. So the thought is that those are categories in your dope file, and so adding geospatial will create a new subway line on the Apache subway map. So we've done a few geospatial tracks at Apache conferences, going back 2016 in Vancouver, the Big Data and ApacheCon in Vancouver. We did an all-day geospatial track there. The ApacheCon in Europe in Seville in 2016, included a geospatial track. And then today, we had a geospatial track that was overflowing, out the door kind of thing with people. So a lot of good interest there. So why is there interest? First off, the Apache projects are implementing geospatial. My day job is I'm with an organization called the Open Geospatial Consortium, which looks at innovation and standards around geospatial. And so I have an interest in where geospatial innovation happens. I want to be there. I also want to make sure it doesn't go off the rails. We have been fighting for 20 years for the well-recognized lat-long versus long-lat order problem to go away. I don't want to see that reinvented again and again and again. So I really have kind of a personal interest in that. But there are a lot of projects that under Apache that are doing geospatial. So I bring to the conversation an interest from an open standards perspective, which I think is a benefit to open source in terms of the ability to build your code based upon the history of what geospatial is about. We saw a great talk about query languages and the like from Julian Hyde, and builds off of some really good work that's been around for years on how to do query languages. He has extended that to a level of abstraction in Calcite that I think is going to be very valuable. We saw a good presentation from SIS, from Martin, and its value across the organizations about geospatial coordinates. We saw multiple application presentations. Better code, interoperability in code, reuse, plug and play. So the ability to essentially have multiple projects that kind of do something similar, but allow integrators to choose based upon what the code does as opposed to how much they have to spend in terms of glue code. So a lot of people in the track today, a lot of interest. So I think there's something there that Apache can do. What can you do? First off, there is a geospatial at apache.org mailing list. So if you're interested in the topic, join the mailing list established a couple of years ago. Add geospatial as a category in your dope file for your project. If your project implements OGC standards, of which we heard of several today, I will help you promote your project in that world of OGC standards, so free promotion if that's of interest. And the question is that's on the table really is there interest in the projects sufficient to establish additional infrastructure, structure, coordination, and the like? If there is, your project's interested. Put that in your project reports, let the board know. We'll see where we go. I have a personal interest. If you guys have an interest in the Apache community on geospatial, I'm interested to work with you. And go category team geospatial. Yay. There you go.
So I want to go ahead and say, if you have drink tickets left, the bar is going to be closing about like now. So now's a good time to go use them and bring me a glass of white wine. George, did your geo? Okay, so first, since you're disappointed that I didn't publicly mock you, George could not spell geospatial on the sign-up sheet. So did any of your geospattle friends recognize the map on the shirt?
Recognize?
Yeah.
And it looks like the London Tube.
It's Montreal. So, but it's actually, it is the future planning of Montreal. It's so they have a map where they intend for future lines to go because we had more projects than Montreal had room for. But it is actually the Montreal subway map.
So if I put a geospatial line on there, they'll build one in Montreal?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that's how it's going to work.
We can totally make that happen.
Look, my new best friend just arrived. Now you have to marry this glass of wine. I think we established that's how this works. Yeah, it's a long aisle, isn't it? Cool. Well, thanks to you and you.
Hey, Ruth.
Hey, Daniel.
You want to see my best impression of a shoe?
I want to see your best impression of a shoe. I think we need another talk, like really fast, like right now. You're out. You're done. Oh, also, if you haven't gotten a bag while you're getting your last drink, grab an ApacheCon bag. They got a little bit stuck in customs, and now they're here, and you should take one. From Gris, our fantastic Google sponsor, who would also like to give you a Google hat. and a puffy sticker because it's like 1985 in there. Save me one of those stickers because they're awesome. That was a lot of words, by which I meant to say Makoto Yui is our next speaker.
Actually, I think Bertrand with What Can You Teach Me?
Numbers are hard.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. You can sit down. Bertrand actually is next because I can't read. Daniel can't code and I can't read. We're a really challenging pair.
Damn. Bertrand,
hey!
Welcome. Yeah, please get us out of here, man.
You got the people out, and I actually need audience participation for
my
thing. So I'm fascinated by the richness of our communities, and I'm suspecting that some of us have unusual skills or things that they could teach others. So I thought about it, and we're going to play a little community role-playing game based on a little story. You might know that there is a volcano north of Montreal, which is called the Fred Cartier volcano. Usually here, you know, if they need a name for something, usually it's Jacques Cartier. You have the Pont Jacques Cartier and the river, everything. And for a volcano, they thought maybe Fred is a better name. So the volcano is a Fred Cartier volcano. And it just erupted, and it's sending ashes in the atmosphere. Tons of ashes, millions of tons of ashes. And we're actually going to be trapped in this place for a while. It's going to be very boring. You know, there's ashes on the roads, on the airports, everything. And by the way, the internet is not working either. Ashes in the routers. That's hard. So we're stuck here for a long time, and it's going to be a bit boring. But we'll do some workshops. You know, we can take the opportunity to learn something. What don't we have? We have to. Learning is a lifelong experience. Can someone set up a workshop about learning to speak Italian? Yes, Anatol, thank you. We have so we're going to have an Italian. That's going to be Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Can someone set up a workshop on fishing, fly fishing? Anyone can do that? We have someone there. Fly fishing, yes. Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Luis, thank you. And can someone set a workshop on how to repair a bicycle? Yeah, we have a few people. Fantastic. So the bicycle repair will be on Wednesday afternoon. Does someone have a really unusual skill that he could set up a workshop about? Something that's not expected. Or you're being too shy. Yes. Play bridge, yeah, we'll have a workshop about playing bridge. That's something. Can someone do a workshop on playing ukulele? We don't have any ukulele players?
My daughter, does that count?
Yes, bring your daughter. I'm sure she's small enough she can, you know, go under the ashes or something. She should be able to be here. Can someone set a workshop on playing ice hockey? This is Montreal. Yes, Daniel. Yeah, this is going to be Thursday's night because it needs to be cold. And ice hockey on ashes, that's something very special. You know, it's a bit slower, but it's interesting. So, yeah, we have very interesting skills. Can someone set up a workshop about the sky and the stars and, you know, how to find? Yeah, we have someone in the back. It's fantastic, you know. It's not just about computers. We really know how to do many things. And how about cooking? Can someone do a workshop? Yeah, Justin, I know that, yes. Some people can do multiple workshops. Paul is going to be very busy, I think, yeah. Can someone do a workshop on designing a computer language that will be downloaded in millions? Yes, he's too busy already. That won't work. Can someone set up a workshop on being the SF secretary for many years and coping with these strange people from the board? Yes, we have Craig here. Thank you. This is not going to be too boring in the end. Can someone do a workshop on setting up stupid timers that you know, may mean we have to stop talking? Oh, yes, right. Yeah, this is going to be important. Can someone set up a workshop on how to make beer? Yes, Ruth, that is fantastic. I'm going to attend this one for sure. And, you know, if you put some ashes in the beer, it gives it a slightly different taste. Interesting. Does someone know a language that they suspect nobody else knows here? Schweizerdeutsch, yes. Yeah, this is something. What's yours? Hieroglyphics. That's will be an interesting one. Yes. What else? What did you guys have any idea? Can someone set up a workshop on hunting? Yes, we have someone. We have people. This is really incredible. You know, so it's really a fantastic community. It's not just about, you know, if we're pretty good at computers, but people are also good at other things, and it's fantastic to discover that. So give yourself a big round of applause, and thank you.
I'm so excited. I got to see a picture, and it's standing still.
Pictures don't stand.
There are two people standing. Three? There are three people standing. Math is counting. Reading, math, all these things are really hard. So hard. Tell me something interesting, Daniel.
Well, actually, coming back from the party last night, I saw a UFO.
I was with you.
I got it on tape.
Now I know where my missing Sharpies went. Okay, since I can't read or count, can you tell me who's going to save us from these puns? We did George, we did Bertrand.
So we're going to talk about Apache Hive Mall now.
Oh, look, this is why I was bad at math, because George wasn't supposed to have gone yet. Great, so let's learn about Apache Hive Mall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makoto, please, come on up. Everyone, welcome to the stage.
Hi, everyone. My name is Makoto Yui. I'm from Tokyo.
Yes.
It was a long flight to Montreal. It takes more than 12 hours. And this is my second time to join Apache Conference.
That was my best dad the other night.
The last one is Miami, and this is the second one. I'm an original creator of Apache Hive Mall, which is Apache Incubator project. And Hive Mall is a machine learning library for Apache Hive and Apache Spark and Apache Peak, and we are looking for additional mentors. So if you are IPMC members, please join to our project. And we have a talk tomorrow, the last session. Please join to our session. And Google recently, BigQuery recently supports machine learning on SQL queries, and our project is an open source solution for machine learning on SQL queries. So please join to our session. Thank you.
Thank you.
If everybody has their last drinks and you want to come hang out down here with us, there's probably more bad puns to come.
Why? Why would you think that?
Because I've been talking to you for like 3 days.
So it goes. Well, I mean, as dads, we can only, you know, I can't use offensive jokes.
As a dad, I totally understand.
So, well, yeah. I can explain to you how it works.
So I think I understand. So I was talking to Rich earlier about how the conference is going, and he was actually pretty upset with me. And he said, hey, you weren't even listening to me, were you? And I said, that's a weird way to start a conversation, man. Am I get there? Am I in the neighborhood? All right, I'm going to go sit down and practice.
A work. So let's do our next talk.
Who's going to give me 5 minutes to practice? Oh, you can't read either.
Oh,
good. Oh, so this is my favorite word. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Hadoop.
God bless you. So we'll have the next talk come up about Apache Hadoop Ozone, which
now you
is...
have to say Hadoop.
Bless you. It's going to be delivered by Alec here, joining us on the stage.
You also, every time you say it, have to say Hadoop.
No, I say Ozone.
Okay. Yeah, wrote Hadoop.
The Hadoop was a previous word. Now the word is Ozone. That's my talk.
That's not fair.
So hello, my name is Martin Alec. I'm a Hadoop developer, and I have unlimited storage just for you. So most probably you know that Hadoop has some very famous sub-projects like Yarn, MapReduce, and HDFS for the storage, but I think you don't know that we have a very new sub-project, Apache Hadoop Ozone, and I would like to talk about this sub-project and explain why I think that this is the most shiny new project in the Hadoop world, at least for me. So I have unlimited storage. So it's a good deal, right? You can use it. You may ask, but how can you use it? Yeah, obviously, I have a very easy API. This is some kind of custom RPC. You need to adjust the fields. It's Hadoop RPC, and most probably you can also, you can just use it from Java and can't use it from any other language. I think you are not interested in anymore, right? Maybe the Hive and HBase guys, but yeah, that's not, I understand, it's not a very good deal from now. But in the HDFS, Hadoop HDFS, the current storage, we have the master component, the name node, and the name node just manages all of the huge binary blocks between the data nodes, and it replicates all of the data, and it also exposes the data over Hadoop RPC. In Hadoop Ozone, we just separated these two responsibilities. So we have a more simple master component, which just replicates the binary data without exposing it, just replicates the data, nothing else. And Hadoop Ozone is an object store on top of it, because it's a so simple component that we can provide additional services on top of it. And we started with an object store, which is almost S3 compatible. It will be an S3 compatible object store, because it was the most easiest one. But we also started. We also created another server which can expose the data as a POSIX file system, so you can mount it. So even you don't need to mount it, because it's enough to write down your dreams, obviously, in Kubernetes resource files. And after that, it will be just created and mounted by the Kubernetes itself. And everything is on top of the same storage system. So I can just manage all of the storage with the Ozone. So Ozone is not just the object store, but it's a generic layer. And with the help of Ozone, we can provide multiple type of interface. And you can use it with S3 API, you can use it with REST API, you can use it with Hadoop file system, you can use it as a POSIX file system, you can mount it. And this is all of the same storage. So I strictly believe that the storage is still an open question in the cloud-native environments. And I also believe that Hadoop Ozone is, let's say, one of the answers. Thank you very much.
I'm pretty disappointed again. I thought he was going to tell us how to submit patches for the holes in Ozone. Am I getting better? Hey, I gave you drink tickets. Be nice.
Actually, Nick gave most of them. So speaking of which, ApacheCon, this is a moment of pride.
Congratulate yourselves.
Be very happy with yourselves. We drank all of the beer.
A+. Good work.
I never had a doubt. But we actually did it. They ran out of beer before the bar actually closed, so.
I always believed in our ability to drink all the beer.
I am proud of you. Awesome.
Who do we have next, Daniel?
Our next speaker is a man that needs very little introduction. He's been around Foundation for quite some time. Hen is gonna come and talk about enterprise functions, which I'm actually kind of geeked out about, because serverless is really interesting right now, so I greatly look forward to this topic. So it's all yours, then.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So back in Miami, I stood here and said, stood there in front of you and said, I look around and I see recruiters. And of course, that was wrong. I look around and I don't see recruiters. I don't see documentation writers. I don't see marketeers. I don't see security engineers, because Mark's gone. and that's a problem. And I'm going to sag sideways for a second. I'm going to do a bunch of thoughts and try and bring them together. When I first joined Apache, it was 2001. And I view myself as one of the younger people at Apache. Because when I joined Apache, I was one of the last people, I think, who got an account from Brian Behlendorf and got a little email from Brian that said, hi, here's your account. And discovered that Brian used to leave his office, run down the road, and restart the server. Or Brian would get out of his office, run down the road, and install a patch. Brian was infrastructure. And then infrastructure got some volunteers, because you can't build a small, tiny open source foundation on Brian alone. And then, I got my notes, no, not that one. Then after some volunteers, we discovered that you can't build a slightly bigger open source foundation on volunteers, and we got a contractor, and then a few contractors, and then some employees via virtual, and then a manager. So our info history was this slow growth from a little bit of support for the from the foundation to the projects, and then rising and getting better and being the awesomeness that we have noticed Infra are at the moment. And we're on a similar path with the legal discuss area, with trademarks, with the PR side of things, where Sally helps out enormously, and with security, where we have the marks, and the attic. Is another service as such. The story on that side seg ends there. So, two segs so far. Third seg. I've been working at a large enterprise company recently for the last 11 years or so. And one of the things that intrigued me going to said company was, what's the difference between a little company and a big company? And my theory is there's a mathematical function called enterprise. And you apply enterprise function to little company to get big company. So what is the difference between an open source foundation that is huge, that I will call an enterprise foundation, and a little open source project? Well, it's again another function called enterprise prime, or maybe even that as a thesis, the same enterprise function. I believe that we can learn lots from what enterprise companies do to a little corporate to make it a big corporate, to do a little open source to make it a big open source. They have infrastructure, administration teams. They also have recruiters. Why don't we have recruiters as committers? They have graphic design artists. Why don't we have a group of graphic design artists who are Apache committers that one of our projects goes to and says, hey, I'd like some help. What we do is we tell all our projects, go find a graphic design artist. How is our project going to turn a graphic design artist into a committer when all they need is a single picture out of them? We say, make your documentation better. Documentation is crucial for open source projects. But how is a project going to reckon, a project of coders, of YARL, going to notice that, sorry, time in Kentucky. How is a bunch of coders going to notice that a tech writer is a committer level tech writer? How are they going to judge the quality of the writing being done for them when they're a bunch of coders? So my theory is we need other central committees who offer services to the projects, not authority, not telling them we're in charge of all the docs and you can't do this, but services where you go to the tech writer committee and say, you know, Rich, could you help us with your documentation? And Rich says, I have a whole ton of tech writer committers here, which is always my example, VP of documentation. And so lots of tech writers who as a group can build their own community, and we as the coder side can go to and say, help. And they can show up and they help out a little bit. And I know, and I look use tech writer as an example because looking in my day job, I've seen the day job go from having tech writers as a central group and a little team wasn't working, then having them join the particular business teams didn't work because they couldn't grow as a community, then putting them back in a central group who sort of dotted line out to particular businesses and help. So my pitch effectively is, we need to do the infra thing a lot more. Infra was a huge success, but we need to have 10 more infras, 11 more infras.
Woo! So, and Daniel's code is broken again.
I don't know why it does this. So I have to be honest, I was expecting a talk about serverless computing, enterprise functions. I was miles away, man.
What do you know?
I don't know anything.
So upon further review of this list, A, I would like George to know that he's not the only one who can't spell. And B, Bertrand, I've figured out what I'm going to teach when the volcano blows. Penmanship.
Penmanship.
Because, yeah. Yeah, global need here. But next, I'm pretty sure that we have Anatoly Tresh. Is that how to say your name, I hope, maybe? I understand the problem. My name is weird, too. And he is going to tell us about Apache Tamaya, probably?
Yeah, a bit.
A bit. Okay.
Very good. All yours?
A bit means you only get 2 minutes.
Okay, let's see. So we get move. Let's move first. Everybody stand up. Come on, I only have five minutes. Stand up. Make you tall.
Go down.
Go down. Enjoy when it hurts in the back. Stand up again, and now in the other direction, go back. Again, enjoy when it hurts in the back. Go to the middle. Now you are in the middle. The Indian name for in the middle is Tamaya. So at least there's a chance that you can remember what is this project's name. If you have other health issues, talk to me perhaps tomorrow. So, but what you are doing actually it's like when you have software. When you have software, yeah, input, output, something is happening in between, that's okay. Now, in between, there is something more, because there is something that controls what your software actually does. Okay, it's your code that also controls a bit what you're not, but you also have another thing that is configuration. So everybody here in the room, which uses configuration? Other way around, who does not have any configuration in their systems? One. Okay, hard-coded everything or something like that. That sounds good. So reading XML files, JSON, whatever, but now you have done that for years. Whose project now also runs somehow in some containers, cloud magic, something like that? Okay, and then you have, for Kubernetes support, you write additional code just to have support for Kubernetes configuration. You can use Kubernetes features like files and something. But normally you have, when you want to use your Kubernetes REST APIs, for example, you have to write additional code. But basically that's not necessary. If you just would use Tamaya in the middle of your project, which is then an abstraction layer that basically reads configuration from wherever it comes, it can come from the moon, it's okay. You just have to write a property source that basically does that. You can use that abstraction. And instead of adding more code and hard code it into your project, just write a module as a separate chart that you load on the class path, which does the work for you, and you have about much better separation of concern. Additionally, in the Java space, plenty time, there's also a standard upcoming, which Tamaya definitely will implement. If the guys that currently are working on the standard, I'm not a spec leader, I'm just in the expert group, get to make it finish in a reasonable time. Nevertheless, at least Tamaya is already there and can be used. It's stable and it makes basically quite fun. So last things to tell. So go to tamaya.apache.org, check our project out, look at it. We are happy to help you in your projects to get that abstraction layer working, and so we can learn also in our project what we should do better. On the other way around, if somebody finds us so cool that he wants to contribute, he's definitely welcome. Thanks.
Mm. No time for banting. We have two more talks in only 5 minutes, so we have to have Takashi Kanai talk about Cloud Stack right now. Go.
Hi, I'm Takashi Kanai from DC Frontier in Japan, and this is the first time to come to the ApacheCon. First time to come to the Montreal. But I don't know about the lightning talk, so I prepared 20 pages for the slide, but I can't use it, so I look it to speak about it. Sorry. I am a server and storage infrastructure engineer, not writing code, but I also work at weekend for the Microsoft, so I honored to the Microsoft MVP for container networking. But if you want to know about the container networking, you should go to the Oland this week to Microsoft Ignite. And so I write the company profile, but skip. Sorry, skip. Yeah. I want to speak about the cloud stack and the infrastructure of orchestrator software. And our company uses the cloud stack for the Japan regional public cloud, and the scale of very big for me. But after I talk about some tuning about the cloud stack, but I can't use the slides, so I cannot speak and explain about the performance graph. So I decided to use the cheat. So just a moment. And I use the cheat to tweet my slide to the slide share. So if you want to know about what I want to speak, just check the Twitter for speaking about the cloud stack configuration tuning and the performance about anything about it. But is there anyone to take the photo from me to explain our boss to speak about anything about? Thank you. That's all. Please check the Twitter.
Thank you.
Rich, can you take a picture so that I can tell you I was here? Okay, bored now. So our time together has almost come to an end. I'm so sad.
Yeah, we do have one more talk.
We do.
And I don't know what we're going to do because I want to tell some more puns.
Okay, our time together has come to an end. Our last talk, though, pretty jazzed about the title. We have Noreen, who's going to tell us how this isn't your dad's Microsoft.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, guys. It's also my first ApacheCon, so thank you for having me. As Hen, I think, referenced earlier, I'm not actually a coder. My background, I graduated from the University of Waterloo as a computer engineer, and I tried coding for a while. I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy staying behind the screens, and I love talking to people, so I wanted to get more out. And so for the last 10 years, I've been working within the Microsoft services side of the house, doing consulting, support, working with our customers hands down. And I used to kind of think it's really, you know, I was their employee rather than Microsoft's employee because my job was to take their pain and fight their battles and bring them out. And then last year, for the last 12 months, I'm new to open source community and I've really been ramping up across. And wow, there's so much open source technology across data infrastructure, and the application dev side. So as I've been ramping up in that role, I've been looking forward to how do I tell the journey of where Microsoft has come from, where they were. And there's a few talks that my colleagues have already kind of done and they've done justice to. But in the 5 minutes, I wanted to kind of share some stats, my thoughts, and share some stories that kind of tell the same story. So one, you know, how many people are aware that now Linux runs on the Azure cloud? Just a show of hands. So generally, most of the folks know that's pleasant. And this week, we at Ignite, the big conference going on in Orlando, as the MVP mentioned, we released stats that 50% of Azure is Linux-based VMs. So that's a nice milestone. The other thing is there's three pillars to how we do open source at Microsoft. One is sort of enablement and integration, and what that means is the choice and flexibility to bring your choice of Linux VMs. I believe there's about 6 distributions today supported on there. And it is a first-class citizen experience. So it's not about, hey, you throw it on there, but sorry if you want to do backup. I don't know what you're going to do. Sorry if you want to do networking. I don't know. That's not really the case. It will work just as well as a Windows server. And so that's really what the first pillar is about. The next one is called release. And this is where Microsoft is making investments to release open source code and projects. VS Code is a popular developer tool, if you're aware of it. And that's an investment that we've made and released into the community. In the last year, I believe it on GitHub, it had over 15,000 contributions. So it's a pretty popular big project. And then the third pillar of how we do open source at Microsoft is contribute. And what this one is about is, okay, Microsoft, you know, all those, you're saying there's the fun stat is there's about 20,000 employees at Microsoft on the GitHub making contributions. And aren't you just kind of doing that to your own products or making your own products work with the open source ecosystem? Yes, there's some of those. The other one is some of the projects we're releasing, such as VS Code or TypeScript or PowerShell as open source. And the third pillar is really going back and giving to the community and improving products in the ecosystem that we didn't start or create for the sake of improving that ecosystem. So I'm not a part of that team, but I'm really proud of some 20,000 engineers across all of Microsoft that are really kind of contributing in sort of those three spaces. And then some other fun stats, I think we've made over 2 million commits in GitHub on open source. I'm proud to say we're in the era where we're attracting talent. So one of the reasons I hear big about folks getting into open source, or as I work with their enterprise customers that are looking to get into open source technology, is for reasons of talent hiring. You guys are in demand out there. There's the whole ecosystem of languages and frameworks that the open source community has created is what the new generation and the millennials are really adopting really fast. You know, I'll say things like the Node.js developers and things like that. And what the organizations that I work with want to do is they want to hire that talent, and they don't want to spend years and months building some legacy software that, you know, only one person understands, and if they get hit by a bus, the whole organization's kind of screwed. So they really want that sort of community support. And it's the same reason we're doing it. Another talk I heard recently was by a Microsoft engineer. She started with us as a college new hire, and she said, you know, it's a really funny story for me to go out to tell people, but I actually didn't know what open source was, and as part of her onboarding experience, she was put into our containers team, and Microsoft taught me open source, and she's only been with us for the last 4 or 5 years. So that's kind of an interesting piece as well. And the last one is, we've been doing it for long. We've been making contributions to the Linux kernel since 2009. Thank you.
And appropriately, that brings us to a close with Daniel's broken code again. So thank you for joining us for this hour-long talk on what you can teach me about Apache, MXNet, Hive, Mail, Cloud Stack, Tuning, Ozone, Turbine, Geospatial, Effects of Enterprise Functions at Microsoft SWAG. And we'll see you in the morning. Thank you.